Good morning. I'm going to ask the marshal to call our next case.
The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Bryan, Judge Werke, Judge Flory, and the Honorable Jeffrey M. Bryan presiding. This case is A21-0801 in the matter of the welfare of the child of MAM and MAC parents.
Well, I want to thank the parties for their willingness to participate by remote video conference. And even though we're not in the judicial center, the same rules would apply. Having said that, I do want to mention a couple of things. First of all, because we're being audio recording, we are recording the audio of these proceedings. Please state your name and the party that you represent before you begin. In addition, we understand that there may be some interruptions given our appearances remotely. Whether that's a doorbell, a pet, a family member, we understand those can happen, but we ask that you try and we'll do the same to keep them to a minimum. If there are technical issues, you're having trouble hearing or for some reason something happens, we will make sure that you have all the time to which you're entitled, and we will do what we can to accommodate any of those problems. The last thing is that if you're able to see the clock, we've noticed that sometimes attorneys have the active speaker view engaged, and that means that the clock is very small. So if you toggle on to that gallery view, you should be able to see the clock just fine. And with that, are the attorneys prepared to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, great. And why don't we have attorney for the appellant begin?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, Matthew Francis, attorney for appellant MAM. And I tell the court, I think I've had you appeared in front of Your Honors a couple of weeks ago. I look off to my right because I've got another screen there with my notes and everything else. So, Your Honor, this is a case of really fundamental unfairness toward my client. My client did have her parental rights to other children terminated on two other times. And she kind of out of the blue, she got pregnant again and was not aware that she was even pregnant until a month or two before the child was born. In that time, my clients, you know, this is a case where we're talking about my client's need to rebut the presumption of palpable unfitness in order to be successful in defeating a termination of parental rights petition from the county and shift their burden back to the county. And the district court judge found that that did not occur. And I would submit to the court that the district court judge did err as a matter of law in finding that, that my client had failed to do that. When the court looks at the previous, the original reason why her termination or parental rights were terminated, it was based on several things. And the first thing was that she had been using drugs. And this is in the state of Washington and where this prior termination had taken place. Well, my client tested negative for drugs every time that she was tested in this case. She had a negative.
Mr. Franzi, the problem I have with your intention to rebut the palpable unfitness finding is she did all of that after the child was removed from her home. So I look back at the 2018 TPR and I go, okay, you needed to have mental health services, you needed to address chemical dependency, you needed to maintain employment, you needed to do all of that. And then she doesn't know she's even pregnant until the child is almost ready to be born. And the child is removed. And at that time, she starts engaging in these services. So why would we look at what she did after the fact and not focus on what did you do to make things better from 2018 up until 2020 when this child was born?
Sure. I think the first thing, Your Honor, the biggest reason why her parental rights were terminated previously because of the drug issue. And the one thing she did do was she obtained a medical marijuana license. And the only drug that she had been accused of consuming was marijuana. And I'm not to downplay that, of course, by any means, but she now has a medical marijuana card and is able to legally consume marijuana for medicinal purposes pursuant to her doctor. And that was really the reason and the kind of the basis in the previous, if the court looks at the previous cases, my client had always maintained that the purpose that she was using marijuana was for medicinal purposes, but she was too poor to come up with the funds needed to get the final, to get that final license or final card, I forget exactly how they get that, in order to be able to legally consume marijuana. So, but
didn't
now
she,
that
she, didn't she get that prescription after this child was born? Because I thought the record indicated this child was born with THC in its system.
That is correct. She did. And that, and the THC was in the system because that she wasn't aware that she was pregnant. And I would, again, I'm not, again, excusing my client's behavior for that. I'm merely saying the reason why she's using marijuana was for medicinal purposes, which is why she was able to qualify for a medicinal marijuana card. And it was, there was issues with funding. And I wasn't her trial, her district, I'm sorry, her district court attorney. So I don't know what all went into the thinking on that. But I think, you know, the thing is, once she did find out she was pregnant, she did take the steps that she needed. And when she was tested with a sweat patch, she tested negative.
Well, drugs aside, one of the other important considerations was mental illness issues. And she was to provide evidence that, in fact, she had, I don't know, participated in therapy or counseling. Did she produce any evidence of that to in her effort to rebut the presumption?
She did produce
her burden.
She did produce evidence of that, Your Honor. She did not. I know the court's concern is that what did she do prior to becoming pregnant? And the record does not indicate that she did anything prior to becoming pregnant. But that kind of goes to my overall fundamental fairness question that I put at the end of both of my briefs. You have a situation where it, the record is very clear in this case. My client doesn't have a lot of money. She doesn't have the ability to go to the counseling independent of going through the county. And in both times, because the original case was from the state of Washington, when she came out here, there was, with the first case, there was an issue in getting the case transferred over here. So she wasn't able to receive services from Grant County in that first TPR, the second TPR case, first one in Minnesota. And she wasn't able to get the funding necessary in order to get that mental health counseling. And then once the TPR took place, again, she doesn't have insurance. She hasn't had the ability to pay for that. And the only reason why she was able to do it now was because the county got involved again.
And the county did get involved, and Mother testified and had witnesses testified, and we're a reviewing court. We have
right.
explicit findings by the trial court judge that Mother was not credible. I mean, that is, of course, very damaging to your client's position. What do we do about that?
Well, I think you look at the third party that testified. I'm looking for the quote from her, but there was a the parent educator testified, it's on page 18 of the trial transcript, that my client was very eager for education. She was very sincere in her desire to learn and become a better parent. And that she testified, my client testified, she greatly enjoyed the classes and felt she was really learning a lot from them. So I think that she was actively engaging. I know the court has some credibility issues. I don't think the credibility issues, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think it pertained to her eagerness for services and her ability to want to comply with services. It was on a different issue.
But the court felt that she was trying to present herself as being better than she was. Let me turn the question on this. I want to talk
sure.
about housing, because that's another concern as far as palpable unfitness. As I understand it, her plan, or at least her conception of suitable housing, was to live with the father. The record evidence does support the fact that he is a drug user. So, you know, is that, what do we do about that factor, which also goes to your obligation to rebut palpable unfitness?
Right. Well, the father, right. And that's a difficult issue. I grant that. And there's not any case law that I could find or that I saw that talked about the fact that a parent is still residing, one parent who would be not be palpably unfit is residing with a parent who would be palpably unfit, who would be the father of the child in this case.
This is the father of the children from the state of Washington too, isn't it?
Correct. They have been together for many years, and he is the father of all the children in the previous TPRs. I think that in a situation like this, it kind of goes more toward my argument that in a case like this, where, you know, maybe there's drug use on the half of the father, but, you know, when we're looking at this family as a whole, there, if the county had not had the previous termination cases, which is not a small thing, but if they didn't have them, there's no basis here to file even a TRIPS petition. There's no allegations that my client or her husband had put the child in harm or endangerment. There's no allegations.
Well, the baby was born with THC in its system. Isn't that enough of a threshold to kick it into a world of review?
For THC, if it was meth, absolutely. THC, I'm trying to think of my own experience as a county attorney. I don't recall that ever being a basis for removal, maybe at CHIPS. But I mean, and also based on the situation here, my client was not, again, the record's very clear that my client's basis for using marijuana is for medicinal purposes. And it was records also very clear she was not aware that she was pregnant with the child in this case. And the previous children was no allegations that there were meth usage or anything harder than marijuana. And there's no allegations in the record that my client's marijuana usage somehow impacted her ability to parent these children successfully. The issue was marijuana use, but it was also the mental health usage. And, you know, again, I go back to the mental health. This is a situation my clients don't have the funds. So we're basically condemning parents who don't have the funds to get into services without the county's help. And then when they do have the county come to them, well, because they've had a previous termination, the county's going to move automatically to termination without providing any services whatsoever to see if these parents could successfully rehabilitate
themselves. I guess I'm troubled a little bit by the basis, the authority for your argument. It sounds like you're basically saying, as a matter of equity, we should not apply the provisions of the statute that relieve the county of their requirement to have a case plan or to have services or to make reasonable efforts, right? Are you saying that because of the equities of the situation that those statutory provisions just shouldn't apply in a case like this where you have a subsequent termination?
No, what I'm saying, Your Honor, is that in a situation like this, because case law says you're supposed to look at these cases when you're reviewing them on a case-by-case basis. And I think in a situation like this, where the record is very clear that the parents do not have funds available to independently to successfully do the things to rehabilitate themselves on their own, that when they have a prior termination and when you don't have a situation where you're alleging physical abuse, sexual abuse, methamphetamine usage, or something where they're really putting these children at harm, that the parents, if they're supposed to be able to easily rebut the presumption, that they should be allowed to have a case plan developed. If they're saying that, yes, we can rebut the presumption because...
But I'm not sure I follow, right? When you say that they should have a case plan developed, or in your argument three, you're asking us to send it back with the instructions that a case plan be developed. What is the legal authority that we have to do such a thing if the statute provides for a process where the county doesn't have to do that?
Right. I think that, well, again, I think in this case, my main argument, or first argument, is that my client did rebut the presumption.
Right. I understand that argument.
Right.
It's this other piece of saying that we should require a case plan, or we should require the county to have reasonable efforts, or essentially just not apply that part of the statute because of, it sounds like equity again to me. It sounds like that's what you're saying. We just don't apply that provision here.
Well, what the court is, what the county is required to do is or the district court judge, if the court does not believe that there's been a finding of that the client or the parent, has rebutted the presumption of palpable unfitness, then the county, that basically that's it. Then the case, because of the prior termination, the termination goes forward and occurs. And if there is a rebuttable, if the presumption is rebutted, then we look at whether the parents are still are palpably unfit or not. And I'm saying that in a situation like this, and a case by, because we're looking at it a case by case basis, that the court can read into the statute that when you have parents, as a matter of equity, when you have parents who are unable on their own to do the services that they're supposed to be doing because of a previous thing to rehabilitate themselves, that they should have a chance if they're showing eagerness, if they're showing, like my client did, jumped on it right away.
And I understand your argument. You're essentially saying, you know, we got some people that aren't as good as other people. I understand that, but correct, we still get to the point that the paramount consideration is best interests of this little boy. So, right. So what's your best argument that the best interest factors were not met having a termination of mom's parental rights?
Right. My best argument, Your Honor, is simply this. My client didn't have a chance. I mean, in a sense that when we're looking at the best interest of the child, I think we all agree that it's the best interest of a child to be raised under all circumstances being equal, to be raised by their biological parents. And I think in a case like this, my client was not aware she was pregnant. Therefore, she was unable to, and because of, again, the financial issues, was not able to get going on the other things to rehabilitate herself until she was aware she was pregnant, and then until she got the help from the county. And in that case here, she's not able to prove that it's not in the best interest of the children, because she's, I mean, again, when you look at, you know, my client was never accused of abusing other children. My client is not a situation where my client, did some harm to another child or allowed harm to a child to occur. She was using marijuana without a medicinal marijuana license. She has that now. She has some mental health issues that she's now addressing. She had stability issues because of home, but she's been living in the same place for over a year. She's had a stable job for a period of time prior to this petition being filed. So the only thing we're looking at here is mental health issues, but there's no allegations that my client ever harmed these children. It's just a matter of, you need to get mental health services for yourself. And she says, well, I can't because I can't afford it. And then, okay, so where's the county's duty at that point to jump in? And I think that's my argument to Judge Brian, when you're asking about the equity matters of this. I think that you have to have that looked at. Are these parents capable without county assistance?
Where, that's what I'm asking, where in the statute does it say that? The statute says that 260.012A2, if there's been a previous termination, right, then the county isn't obligated to do the things that you're saying they should be doing. And so I don't see where we just don't apply, or we apply a different statute. Is there some case law that says the equities trump? I just don't see the legal basis for what you're saying. I understand the argument you're making about the rebuttable presumption, but that to me is slightly different than the county should have done X, Y, and Z, and they didn't. Where's the legal authority that requires them to do that?
I think the course is correct. I'm simply making an equitable argument. The statute says what it says. I'm not disagreeing, and I'm not telling the court to ignore the statute by any means. What I'm simply saying is, I think that when you're looking at it from a case-by-case basis, that there are situations when you can read into a statute based upon the individual characteristics of a given family, like my clients here, who are showing a willingness to comply, but are financially unable to do so on their own. And that's my argument.
Well, if it's all right with you, Judge Brian, I have one quick question on the relief issue. You know, if we were to agree with you, Mr. Francis, either on the presumption issue or the best interests, you know, the relief you request is to reverse and remand to order a case plan to be developed and have the county supervise it. It seems to me that wouldn't be the relief. If we were to agree with you, we would reverse and remand for a new trial, not to direct a case plan to be developed. Am I wrong about that?
Well, there has not been a CHIPS case plan, a CHIPS petition filed, and.
But you're asking that we reverse the trial court's finding of termination based right. upon its findings on palpable unfitness and the presumption and best interests. A reversal would mean go back and retry the case, wouldn't it?
Well, it'd be retry the case, or it'd be dismissal of the TPR petition. One of those two. I was trying to, again, and as a matter of equity here, because I'm not saying that there aren't things that have not necessarily been done. What I'm trying to say is my client needs that opportunity to do that. And in the way everything is being, the statute and the case law is there, there's an opportunity for someone like myself, my client's shoes, to do the things that she needs to do. I think, again, that there's an argument to be made that she still overcome the rebutted the presumption of palpable unfitness. But if the court doesn't.
I was just asking about the relief, not about the basis for it.
So. Gotcha. That's my answer, Your Honor.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Anderson.
May it please the court. Thank you, Judge Brian. Justin Anderson, Grant County Attorney for Respondent. I just want to address the opportunities that the mother has had. If the court takes a look at the record, the November 26, 2018 termination order from the state of Washington indicates that the local social services agency or equivalent offered drug and alcohol assessments, random urinalysis, mental health evaluation, and a psychological evaluation with a parenting component. And outside of two urine samples, both of which were positive for THC, the appellant in that case did not engage in any of the court-ordered services. And then there was a move to Minnesota. Based upon that prior termination, a petition was filed. And the court concluded that none of those deficiencies were corrected. The parents were each offered 3 drug tests. They refused. There was a referral for therapy so that the appellant could address her prior diagnosis of PTSD. There were issues, as Judge Werke alluded to, with chemical dependency, mental health, employment, and housing. And I'm going to just touch on those a bit. It is clear, as Judge Werke indicated, that the chemical dependency issues have not been addressed. The prescription for medical marijuana did come after the birth of the child, and the child tested positive for THC at birth. Housing has stabilized somewhat, but again, as the court has already alluded to, we have the issue with respect to the father, whose chemical dependency issues and mental health issues have gone completely untreated. In terms of mental health, and I would note that, you know, while the evidence necessary to overcome a presumption of the palpable unfitness is not high, the court is required to evaluate the parent's credibility when reviewing the evidence and is not mandated to automatically accept the evidence. And I think what is significant in this matter is that when Ms. Young from Lakeland Mental Health conducted the assessment, the motives of the appellant in this case really came out. She indicated that she was there, that the chief complaint was she was seeking services at the suggestion of an attorney and a child protection caseworker. It's important to note that the person who did the diagnostic assessment did not testify at the hearing, and that the court concluded, based upon the testimony offered in this matter, that she presented things in a light more favorable than they actually appeared. As it relates to the recommendations, at the time of the hearing, there had been 1 therapy session. The recommendations with respect to CBT and DBT have not been acted on. Admittedly, that there were some classes taken, but not much of anything. Both the appellant and respondent cite In Re JAK, which is a case where it's clear that the mother rebutted the presumption. Her therapist testified that she was doing great. She had consulted a psychiatrist and began taking medication for her depression, maintained her sobriety for over a year, maintained consistent employment for 2 years, did all of the things that she was required to do while the court was not watching. And that is the difference in this case. I think I will limit my comments to that unless there are any questions from any of the judges.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. I don't see any other questions from the panel.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Franzese, you do have 5 minutes remaining for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, one thing I overlooked in my initial argument was that the In Re Welfare of CHOSA, that the evidence must address conditions that, for the district court, must address conditions that exist at the time of the hearing, and that it must appear the present conditions of neglect, in that case was neglect, will continue for a prolonged indeterminate period. You know, even though Mr. Anderson made a comment right now about what my client supposedly said, oh, I guess the court made a finding that she said it, about going to starting counseling because her attorney suggested to do that. This, again, is a situation where she doesn't know what to do. She did the things that she, when she was found out that she was pregnant, she did the things that she thought she was supposed to do to overcome the rebuttal presumption. And those, and the eagerness in which the parenting educator, again, the parenting educator herself said that she was engaging in the services, wanting to do them, shows that she wanted to do these things, shows that she is somebody that if the county had been able to file a case plan and give it to her, that she would have worked the case plan. When Mr. Anderson talked about her failures in the previous case, that was because she was coming over here from Washington. She didn't take advantage of the services in Washington, but she came here to Grant County, and the record indicates that because she was not a resident of Minnesota for a period of time, she wasn't able to get services set up here again because of her financial situation. So I just would bring those things up in rebuttal, unless the court has any further questions of me, I'll go from there or leave it at that. That appears, Your Honor, Judge Brian, that there's no further questions, so rest.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure my colleagues had enough time to ask any final questions if they had them. I'm not seeing that. Okay. Well, I want to thank the parties for their submissions today and their written briefs. We will take the matter under advisement and issue an opinion within the statutory timeframe. Thank you both very much. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Your Honors. Yeah.